One of the messages that began in John's Gospel is that the world is in complete darkness. John's Gospel began that Jesus comes into the world, comes to the darkness. The darkness does not comprehend it. The darkness does not overcome him. And this message then of light and darkness just kind of fills as a theme throughout this gospel. And here it becomes very significant. And it is important to keep in mind what John has painted for us is that we are in darkness, the world is in darkness, and we're in need of help. We're in need of getting out of that darkness. And so Jesus comes along and he now makes a powerful claim, a second great claim about himself. And as he speaks about himself, it's going to have implications for those who believe in him, and it's going to have significant implications for those who do not believe in him. And so we're in John chapter 8, verses 12 through 20. And what we notice here is Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And this is the second time Jesus has given a description about himself. Last time in chapter 6, he said, "I am the bread of life." And when Jesus makes these massive "I am" statements, it is to cause us to stop for a moment and think about what that entails. All of chapter 6 is about how Jesus is the bread of life. All of chapter 8 and chapter 9 is about this concept of Jesus being the light of the world. Let's set our context and remember where we are for the moment. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. Back in chapter 7, we saw this great picture of the Feast of Tabernacles, and we noted how there was this great processional, this great water ceremony that would occur as reminders of being slaves in Egypt, and how God would bring future blessing upon the people. One of the other interesting things that happened during the Feast of Tabernacles is that there were these grand, enormous candelabras that were lit in Jerusalem at the time of this feast. Writers record, Josephus in particular, that the light from these four candelabras, these burning torches, lit all of Jerusalem up under its light. And so just as Jesus in chapter 7 on that great feast last day does with this great water ceremony and says, "Come to me and drink," now with these burning torches and this reminder then of the tabernacles and Israel being enslaved in Egypt, Jesus then stands up and says, "I am the light of the world." And that claim is far-reaching to what Jesus wants us to understand about who he is. Number one, it is a claim to deity. For Jesus to say that he is the light of the world is to expressly declare himself to be God. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 19, "The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light, but the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory." David made a similar declaration about the Lord is his light. In 1 John verse chapter 1, verse 5, he declares, "God is light." For Jesus to now turn around and say, "I am light," is to put him on par with God, because only God is light. And one of the themes that we're going to notice a few times, it will come back mostly in chapter 9, but I'd like to give it to you now, is that only God gives light. There's a really neat theme in John's Gospel that's going to come out strongly in chapter 9. Only God gives light to the world. Only God can give light to the eyes. Only God gives light to the heart. Only God can speak light into existence. If it has anything to do with light, only God can do it. And so here you have Jesus making the statement, "I am the light of the world." First implication is, He's God. Only God can be light. The second implication is this makes him the Messiah. This makes him Christ as well. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, you have Malachi prophesying of a glorious day. Final prophet of the Old Testament times, as Malachi says, you're going to have to look forward to the coming of the Messiah because I'm done with you because of your sins. And Malachi prophesies, he says, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. Here is this picture of when the Messiah comes, when Christ comes. It's going to be like the sun rising. Why do that? Because the world's in darkness. And so the sun is going to rise up for you who believe, for you that obey, that you who are faithful. It will be like healing in its wings that will come, and you will go leaping out when this light comes. Remember what Simeon said when Jesus is brought by Joseph and Mary to the temple? Luke chapter 1 verse 76. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, and you shall go before the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation to His people and the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Here is Jesus being presented at dedication to the temple. And Simeon says, I know who you are. This child is going to give light to the world. You are the prophet. You are the Messiah. You're the Christ, the Anointed One. And so for Jesus to take those words upon Himself not only declares Him to be God, it declares Him to be the Promised One, the Anointed King, the Messiah who has come to save the world and to light the world a path to God. Number three, it also makes a claim that He is the head of Israel. And I want us to spend a moment here with this because I believe this is really important and easy to kind of pass by and not consider. But consider with me that this declaration shows Him that He is the true head of the people of God. He is their leader. He is their source, and people must follow after Him. Remember what you have with the history of Israel. With Abraham, He is the head of Israel, and all who are children of Abraham belong to Him. Okay, so hold that in your mind. Abraham is the father of Israel. That's why you see all the Jews and all the people of Israel. Abraham is our father. Well, why is that so important? Because that means we're Israel. We're the people of God. But the prophets spoke thus, like Isaiah 42 and verse 6. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. Here He's speaking to Israel, the nation, the people, and He says, here's what I'm going to do. I've called you in righteousness, and here's what's going to happen. I'm going to make you a light for the nations. I'm going to make a covenant with you as the people, and you will proclaim this great brightness and bring people out of darkness. Chapter 49 does the same thing. Here's God. He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. Here is this picture that Isaiah says, in that darkness, I'm going to have a people that are going to be light. And then for Jesus then to say, I'm the light of the world, is now reordering Israel. If Jesus is the light of the world, then you have to become a follower of Him to belong to these promises that are being spoken of. Because Israel was promised to be lights through the world. When the Messiah comes, Israel will be rebirthed and become light to this dark world. Well, if He's the light, if Jesus is the light, then you have to be a follower of Him to be in true Israel, to be the true people of God. And these are the three things that are at stake that Jesus is giving here. And I believe this third one is critically important to what Jesus says next, because as He continues now, He makes a claim for those who will be His followers. Notice verse 12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Here's a great image here. And I want us to consider that this picture continues the imagery of the wilderness. Remember, we're in the backdrop of the Feast of Tabernacles, which is a reminder how Israel, they were slaves in Egypt and God brought them out. And remember what occurred in the wilderness. One of the fascinating things that happens, one of the things that I would love to see what that looked like, was that by night, you had the best flashlight in the world, God, as the pillar of fire, burning there in the wilderness. When night happened, there that pillar just burned. And when it was time to move, the pillar would lift up, and they'd start packing up everything and start following it. By day it was a cloud, but by night it was fire. It was the light that led them on their way to go to the promised land. And Jesus is using this very imagery. As he says it here, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the one to follow. I am God. I am the Messiah. I am the leader, head of Israel. And if you will follow me, I will take you out of that darkness and guide you down that path of light. Which sets up for us one of the things that Jesus wants us to see in chapter 8 that we're going to highlight this morning. What Jesus shows us is what true followers look like. What it means to truly be a disciple of Jesus. Because think about what was going on in the wilderness. Who were the people who were truly, truly followers of God in that wilderness? They were not people who just simply said, "Oh, hey, there's a pillar of fire, that's kind of neat. Cool." Nor were they just the ones that decided to walk behind it, and that was it. Remember, most of Israel fell in the wilderness. True following of God meant you went where it went, you did what God said, and you obeyed everything that He had to say, and you loved doing it. Remember, what was one of their big problems? Complaining. Complain, complain, complain. Oh, sure, they're following, but they're complaining every step of the way. It's about going where He goes, doing what He says, and loving doing it all the way there. And that's the picture of what's being described here. This is what Jesus is saying. You want to be a true follower of me? I am the light of the world. And what that means is you will go where I go. You will believe what I teach. You will love what I say. You will do as I command, and you will enjoy it every bit. That's why Israel failed in the wilderness. And Jesus now comes and presents Himself as a light and says, if you'll follow me, you won't walk in darkness. If you follow me, I will give you light. But I want you to notice there's something a little unusual in verse 12. Notice that Jesus does not hold the parallel intact. It would make sense for Him to say, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will walk in light. That's how that should read, right? Everybody get your pens out and amend that. That's how that would be in parallel. You won't walk in darkness, you will walk in light. That's not what He says. Look at what He changes there. You will not walk in darkness. You will have the light of life. That's interesting. It would have made sense just to say you'll walk in light. But He's teaching something bigger than that. It's not just simply if you follow Jesus, now you're on the right path and you're walking in the light. There is a concept here of being in relationship with the light. You will possess it. You will have the light of life. It is not just simply saying that we are followers. It is being in such a close relationship with Him. It is as if we are attached to Him. It is as if we possess Him that we have the light of life. You're not just walking. You have Christ. You're with Him every step of the way. And so He's calling for something big here. He's not calling for people who will just mindlessly follow. He already showed the failure of that in the wilderness. He had all kinds of people just walking, following the pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. And most of those people fell and perished. He's looking for people who do more than just follow, but they have relationship with Him. They belong to Him. They love Him. That's what He is calling for here. And that's what He is describing. They will have the light of life. Let me put it another way of what discipleship looks like then. What He's driving at of what this means for us. Without the light of Jesus, it is impossible for us to see anything properly. That's really, I think, the big picture. This is what discipleship looks like. It is a recognition that if I do not have the light of Christ, I cannot see or comprehend or understand anything properly, because we are in complete darkness otherwise. If Jesus is not our light, if He is not the one who is guiding us, directing us, walking down His path, and attaching ourselves closely to Him, we are in darkness and we have gone astray. I think that's the big idea. I think that's the big picture. When you are in complete darkness, you can't see anything. You don't know which way to go. How many of you were here back in 2005, Hurricane Wilma? Do I still have a lot of you that are all you late movers? Remember back in 2005, everybody had no power. And depend upon how many weeks that you got your power back on. What was that like at night? Remember how weird that was? I mean, it was dark. There's not light anywhere. The best light you had was the moon. I mean, there was nothing. Our whole subdivision just black. I mean, it was weird for Halloween. Remember, that was at Halloween, walking around trying to trick-or-treat in the complete dark. And when you were in your house, wow, it was dark. It was dark. What's the one thing you needed? You didn't go anywhere without a flashlight. You'd kill yourself if you didn't have a flashlight. You were not going to go well in that house without the flashlight. It was so dark. That's what Jesus is picturing. You are in utter darkness. And if Jesus is not your light, you can't see anything about your life. You can't begin to understand what you should do, where you should go, how you should live. You can't understand, comprehend, see any of that until Jesus is your light. That's the picture that Jesus is drawing here, grasping this utter darkness. Jesus is the only light. The only way to have a right path in your life. The only way to go the right way. The only way to find relationship with God. The only way to have anything that is good or right is to be attached to the light. To have the light of life. I think that's a significant picture because we often don't see ourselves in the darkness that Jesus is painting. But without Jesus, you and I are walking in total darkness. Without Jesus being the light in our life, in our hearts, in all that we do, then we have strayed off into complete and utter darkness. Now, I find this fascinating with the text. Would you not suppose that the rest of this chapter would be all about how Jesus is the light of the world? But it's not. You have to go all the way to chapter 9 and verse 5 when he gets to talk about it. Because there's a problem that now arises right here in the text in verse 13. Jesus has said something profound. He has given His second I am statement. I am the light of the world. I have claimed myself to be God, the Messiah, the head of Israel. You must follow me like the pillar of fire. I am the one who gives life. I am the one who gives light. I am the one that is leading you to the promised land. I am the one that gives you relationship with the Father. He has just laid all that out there. Whoever will follow me will have the light of life. You won't walk in darkness at all. So verse 13 says, and everybody said, man, that is amazing that you have come to be our light, and we will follow you wherever you go because we are in darkness and we are in sin and we need the light. That's what verse 13 reads, right? And the Pharisees say, you can't testify about yourself. We don't believe you. Oh, I read the Gospel of John and I just continue to go, wow, we are so dark and dense, aren't we? We don't want to hear the great offer of what Jesus is saying. I will be your light. I will take you out of darkness. I will lead you to the promised land. I will lead you to the relationship with the Father. You can have me as your light of life. And they stand back and they say, well, you are bearing witness about yourself and your testimony is not true. We don't want to believe you. We're not interested in following you. We don't need light. We're doing just fine here in the darkness because I know you say we're in the darkness, but we're really not in the darkness because we can see just fine. Such a blind, blind world we live in. Blind people that we are. We think we see life so clearly. I've got it all figured out. I don't need Jesus. I know what I need to do. I know how I need to live. I've got my own flashlight. I don't need the sun rising upon me so I can see all that I need to see. I've got my 2-bit AAA battery flashlight here and I can see just fine. That's what we do. I don't need Him. That's what they're doing. And the reason why I know that's what they're doing is because you remember in chapter 5, Jesus just unloaded all of the witnesses that testify that He is who He says He is. Chapter 5 is just witness after witness. The Holy Spirit bears of me. The Father bears of me. John the Baptist bears of me. Everybody bears of me. The prophets bear of me and say, my testimony is true. And they go, you testify of yourself. We can't believe you. And we do that with God. I know you are saying that you will give me light and it will change my life completely. I am the bread of life, you say, and so we can fully trust in you and you will satisfy us and you will give us guidance and you will be our light and it will change everything so we can see how we can live. But you know what? I just like being in the dark and I'm going to do what I want to do. I live how I live, be what I want to be, so I don't want to believe. I don't want to follow you. I don't want to do what you're asking. And that's what they do. That's what they say in verse 13. And I like how Jesus responds to this. Jesus just simply says, well, I'm not going to give you all of the witnesses that I already gave you. He just simply says, my testimony is true because I'm not a liar. Because I have the witness of the Father. And since my testimony is true and the Father's testimony is true, that's 2 witnesses and that's enough. He doesn't even go back and go, let me rehearse all that one more time. He basically realizes, you don't want to see me as the light of the world and the light of your life because you don't want to. And so I don't have to address this. You don't want to believe me? Fine. But my testimony is true. I know who I am. I know where I've come from, and I know where I'm going. Why? Because I'm the light. You don't know where you come from, and you don't know where you're going. Why? Because you're in the dark. You don't know where you're going when you can't see. You ever been lost? Did you make good time? That's what we're doing in this world. If Jesus is not your light, you might be going really fast, but you don't know where you're going. You're going at a great breakneck speed. You're living life to the fullest, and it's a mess. You don't have the light. You don't see what you're doing. And that's what he tells them. I know, because I've been sent from the Father. I have a purpose to give you light so that you will live your life in the right way. But you'll stay in darkness. Because you don't know who I am. You don't see who I am. You don't see me as light. And if you don't see me as light, you'll remain in darkness and you'll never find the Father. It's about the sum of what 13 to 20 is doing there. Is he just kind of lays it out to them? He just wants them to understand. His testimony is true. It has come from the Father. And there is no reason for them to doubt that. And so verse 19. And they said to him, therefore, where is your Father? I don't know which way they meant that. I don't know if that should be a capital F or not. I kind of go back and forth on that. I kind of think it's a lowercase f, and I think they're being insulting. I think they're saying, oh, yeah, you know your Father, huh? Yeah, illegitimate. Where's your Father? And Jesus' words are so powerful here. You know neither me nor my Father. And that's definitely capital F. Whichever Father you think you're talking about, you don't know the real Father. You don't know the one who sent me. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. This is very powerful. The only way for you to know the Father, to have a relationship with the Father, is to know Jesus. Now, I like syllogisms, and Jesus just did one. Great logical arguments. If A is true and B is true, then C therefore is true. And he does that right here. Premise number one. The only way to know the Father is to know Jesus. The only way to know Jesus is to follow him. That's interesting. What did Jesus always tell people when they came up to him? Follow me. Follow me. The great call of discipleship. Attach yourself to me. Go where I go. Eat where I eat. Drink where I drink. Sleep where I sleep. That's what it meant to follow him. Matthew leaves the tax collector booth unmanned. Time to go. Jesus just said, follow me. All right. Guess I'm going to quit my job and follow him. And wherever he goes, I'm going to go. And whatever he says, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to believe everything he says. If you want to know the Father, you have to know Christ. And if you want to know Christ, you have to follow him everywhere he goes. You have to see him as the light of the world. And so it looks like a diversion as they go, ah, we don't believe you. Actually, I think Jesus brings full circle quite nicely. Tries to get them to understand something. When you see me as the light of the world, you will have the light of life. When you have me as the light of life, that means you're following me everywhere I go, believing everything that I say, obeying everything that I teach, and doing it joyfully. And when you do that, that's how you know me. And when you know me, you know the Father. That's the only way to know the Father. If you knew me, you would know the Father. So verse 20, you don't know me, and you don't know the Father because you don't know me. That means something very powerful for how we're going to change our lives then for today, for tomorrow, for everything that we do. Is what that means for us is that we will not follow our own path. This is the great spirituality today. Go pick up your books and listen to your TV shows and radio shows. You gotta find your own path. You gotta blaze your own trail. You gotta live your own way. This is what you've gotta do, is you gotta find your path in life. Okay. I'm all for that, except guess what? We all have one path. It's the same one. Yeah, you gotta find the path. You better get Jesus as the light to find the path.
Otherwise, you're not going to find it. You might think you found it.
You think you're blazing your own trail. You're doing great doing circles in the dark. But Jesus is the light to your life. You've got to attach yourself to the light of life. He is the one who will give you the way to the Father. He is the one that changes everything. How do you come to know Jesus? You come to know Jesus by following Him. He called for everyone to come and follow Him. And so the question I want to leave us with this morning, does Jesus lead your life? Does Jesus lead your life? Is He the light in your life? Are you walking on the path that He has set before you? Is your life surrounded by doing all that He says? Does your life submit to His will completely? What does the world see in us? Does the world see us walking in darkness as they walk? Or does the world see us completely following Jesus because Jesus is the light? That should change everything for us, because we will want to leave the ways of the world, not only because they're sinful and wrong and God condemned them, but also because we know that is a path of darkness that just leads us in circles to destruction. There is a light, a path that is given to us by Jesus. And we will want to get on that path because we recognize that is the only way to come to the Father. That is the only way to have salvation. That's the only way to find the grace of God. Will you come to the light this morning and set aside your obstacles, things that are keeping you from seeing Him as the light? Will you not be like these people who just simply react and say, "I just don't want to hear that message"? Will you hear the preciousness of the offer? I am the light of the world. I have come to take you out of your darkness. I have come so that you can know how to live your life, that you can know which way to go, that you can find mercy and grace from the Father, and I will lead you to Him if you will follow me. If you'll do as I say, if you'll love me, if you will obey me joyfully, if you will believe all that I say, that's what He's calling for them to do. Do you pull your songbooks out? We're singing the invitation song to receive Jesus as your light, to obey Him and submit to Him with all of your heart, believing that He is the Son of God who died for your sins. He came so that you could have light. He came so that you could receive Him as your light of life that will give you life eternally. If you'll turn away from your sins, confess Him as the Son of God, be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. All of these things are the ways that we receive Him, that we follow Him, that we are obeying Him, because we recognize who He is. He's the light. And I must submit to that light and follow His path and not my path any longer. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?